Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to reflect on the entire text that was just read, but also a couple of lines that kind of jump out. He was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was calm. There's one thing about public figures. Being a public figure, lots and lots of people want to have a piece of you. They want to maybe get their picture taken with you. They maybe want to share with you some problem that they have that they hope that you can fix for them. They may simply want to have bragging rights. "I saw so-and-so. I was near so-and-so." We see it in some of the kinds of depictions of very famous and important people today. It's what happened to Jesus as well. Everybody wanted a piece of him. Not just to kind of get close, but maybe to be healed. We find out in the early chapters of Mark that when Jesus was near people who were sick, he healed them. All of a sudden, the problems were simply taken away and gone. The chapter we have just looked at and discussed some from chapter 4 is a story about Jesus teaching. And we're told the crowds were all around him. He's whooped. He's tired. He says, "Let's go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee where it's quiet." Well, it's not going to be quiet over there either. And we're going to find out about that soon enough. But he and others get into boats to go across the Sea of Galilee. And he is in the stern, asleep. Now, we're not talking about an ocean liner. We're talking about a boat where in the back there'd be a place to sit, and here he is, just so tired. He's fallen asleep. People have been getting a piece of him all day, and as a human being, he gets tired. So he's asleep on the cushion, and as we find out from the way the wind patterns go by the Sea of Galilee, there are kind of bluffs to the east side, so it doesn't take much when the evening breeze comes up that all of a sudden you're going to have the winds swirling and you're going to have really bad weather. It can happen, according to the reports I've read, in just a very few minutes, and all of a sudden you're in the midst of trouble. I always wonder, and there is no way to answer this, but I always wonder when I read in there and they say, "Lord, aren't you worried that we are going to perish?" whether Jesus is included in the "we" or not. No way to answer that one. My guess is they're not so much worried about him drowning as them drowning. A lot of them were fishermen. "Don't you worry, Jesus, that us guys are going to die? We're going to drown out here?" "Teacher," well, teachers aren't used to doing miracles. They're used to trying to impart information. But yet they say, "Don't you worry about this? Isn't this a concern for you?" I get very jealous of Jesus in that boat that night. I get very jealous when I think of how many things swirl around in my life that keep me from really being able to rest and sleep. In the midst of all of this turmoil, all of this wind and the waves and all the rest of that going on, he's asleep. The turmoil is the turmoil that sometimes comes of our own making. "Oh, I'm so busy." might be the result of I'm so busy because I've taken so much on, and now I'm trying to keep up with it, and now people are expecting me to really do what I promised them to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, sometimes we could say no once in a while, right? Beats me, I'm not sure. Sometimes it's simply because there are pressures from around us, from all over the place, the winds and the waves of our lives. It can come because of things that are going on in the lives of members of our family, our neighbors, our friends, things that are going on that weigh us down. Every single week when we read the newspaper or turn on the TV, and this week, 9 people in Bible study killed in a church. And each week it's something different and it weighs us down. What's going on in this world? Some things even greater in terms of magnitude of hundreds and thousands of people being killed. We can't sleep, we can't rest, we can't look around and say it's okay. The storm becomes our life. It can be not only things of the past or things of the present, but things of the future. We don't know how to get rid of everything from our past. It's like a ball and chain that keeps dragging us down. We'd like to change some things about the past, and it doesn't seem to be able to happen. We're afraid for the future because we're not in charge. We're not in control. The waves and the wind get to us. And so that up and that down and that up and that down, it seems to be that that's more our life than the peace of God that passes all understanding. And we might use that phrase, Lord, to whom can we turn but to you? You have the words of eternal life. The trouble is, the things that go on in this world seem so front and center. All of the busyness that we have, all of the things that we do for us and our family. Dads and moms trying to be good dads and moms and having their children exposed to a lot of different kinds of activities. Because as we try to do what's right, we're not always in charge of the results. And we don't always know what the future is. And our fears and our doubts and our hopes and our dreams can crush us like a storm. And we find that daytime and nighttime, there's no peace. There are days when things go well for us, days when things are great. But there are also those days that come when they are not. And maybe the thing that's the worst about it that this text helps us realize is there are times in the quietness of our life when we realize we're not in charge of changing things that we would really like to see changed. We're not in control of things that we would really like to be in control of. To whom may we turn? But to a God who sometimes seems to be asleep in the back. I wonder how many books have been written titled, Where is God in My Suffering? Lots of them. Where is God? We become like the disciples, the accusers. Come on, God, I thought you loved me. I have an opportunity for you to show me. Fix this. And it doesn't fix. It is not God who is at fault, but our view of God. Alita's been talking about reading J.B. Phillips' book, Your God is Too Small. And very often, God is only enough of a God to take care of whatever happens to be wrong for me right now that I would like to have fixed. Well, he takes care of the big stuff. And not just even stilling storms. What is the worst storm that could ever hit you? What is the worst possible scenario of what could ever hit you and me? It is to be attacked by the wrath of God, by his righteous wind of wrath against us, that we thought we could live without him and do just fine. This storm on the Sea of Galilee, not that big one, but that big one, is the one that our Lord is trying to prepare the disciples for. To be under the wrath of God, under the storm of his judgment. Job is afraid of that. It doesn't happen to him, but Job is afraid, and thus God has to settle him down as well. That storm has already come, and it came upon the one who was sleeping in that boat, who said, "You don't need to fear the terror of God. You don't need to think that somehow he does not love you. You do not need to come up with the list of you better fix this, and if you do, then I'll love you." Because his love is already there. It is what he did where, according to one of the verses of a hymn we sang this morning, he is our ransom. He delivers us from the wrath of God, from the storm of God's righteous judgment against people who think somehow that we have to somehow figure life out and make it work, and that God's not big enough, so we have to step in and push and shove and cajole and make things happen just our way and push people away or bring people close depending on what we decide, so that we try to push away those storms and we try to bring in the calm. We think we're in charge, and we're not. But this one, asleep on the cushion, "Lord, don't you care that we are perishing?" And he says, "Yes, by the way, I do. And I'm going to go up to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be crucified by people who hate me and hate my Father and hate the Spirit, and my dad is going to treat me to what you deserve so you can have the peace that passes all understanding for all eternity and have the calm for the rest of your eternal life. Okay, boys?" Well, he doesn't quite say it there, but he will. Calm down. Settle down. He says it, first of all, to the wind and the waves. And pardon the foolish way of saying it, but that really blew him away. How did that happen? Well, every once in a while, the curtain gets pulled back a little bit. We find out this is not just a man. This is God himself. Go scrounge around in the Old Testament and you'll find only God stops storms and wind. And we heard from a couple of Psalms today that allude to that, and there are others. When the wind and the sea obey him and all is calm, they realize he is more than just a teacher. In our creed, we do not know in the creed about what Jesus does, because it's born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. The creed lets us know that what he really does is take the storm of God out of our life forever. We are at peace. We are at peace forever. We are wrapped in something that will never change. And our Lord says, "Please, don't go looking around in your life and trying to bring the things that you deal with that are part of it front and center so that you act as if I'm not there and that I don't care and that my forgiveness of sins means nothing for you or for anybody around you. Settle down and hear the good news. You are forgiven and I'm at peace with you. Even the wind and the waves obey him." And not only that, but by the power of our Lord's resurrected life, God looks at us now as he looks at his own Son. And in his heart, and in his mind, and in his presence, we are at peace already. So the things that we face in this world, while they are significant, are things that we face with him, in us, in the boat. He didn't send them out on this trip saying, "I want you to go in all the storms of life and then report back how you became a better sailor. He goes with them and he goes with us. To turn beyond ourselves and what's going on in our life, but to be people out of whose mouth, out of whose hands, out of whose heart comes those words to other people. Because Christ Jesus died and rose, we are at peace. Be still in your heart. Be still in your life. Recognize where there are things you're piling into your life that you need not pile in, either to try to change things or to be so crushed by what's going on that you think there is no hope. For he who created the heavens and the earth, maybe you're reminded now of where that comes in the Psalms that we say regularly. One who created the heavens and the earth knows us each by name, puts us in the coolness of his love, provides us with parents, fathers and mothers, and friends and relatives to care for us and to love us and help us know the goodness of the peace that does pass all understanding. This is a little window, as the parables are as well, into something that has happened for all of us. Not through the mighty storm and wind, but through the gentle washing in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. We are at peace with God because he says so. And when we are fraught with all the problems of our life, it is to come here, to come before him daily, to say, Lord, let me lay this on you because I can't deal with it. And that the disciples did right. They knew where to turn. They didn't jump overboard and try to swim back to shore. Not knowing how he would act, they turned to Jesus. How small is your faith? Jesus says. Are you still thinking just in those little terms that somehow I'm not there? Satan makes us think that we have to be the problem solvers and that we have to coordinate and make everything work just our way. But our Lord lets us know he's already God of the universe, creator of the heavens and the earth, and the one who has taken away that huge storm. It will never come upon us. And he desires that we find ways to love and share that word in our daily lives with others wrought up so that it doesn't come upon them either. And then to trust that the Spirit of the Almighty God is at work in what we say and do to bring that peace and that settledness to the lives of others. Not if they change their ways, but because he has changed their eternity already. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.